We can feel like drivers in command of our mind, believing that we make conscious decisions and direct our actions according to our will. However, upon reflecting a little, we realize that in many cases we simply follow an internal navigation system that goes beyond our knowledge and understanding. If we do not make an effort to understand this navigation system, how it operates, what its objectives are, and how to intervene when it leads us astray, we run the risk of wandering aimlessly, ending up in uninteresting destinations at best and in disastrous situations at worst. Carl Jung, the 20th century Swiss psychiatrist, is possibly one of the most remarkable and skillful individuals who has ever attempted the task of exploring the interior of himself and developing a complete understanding of this intricate internal navigation system from its deepest structure to its most superficial functioning. Jung came into the world in 1875 in Keswil, Switzerland, into a modest family headed by his father, a rural pastor named Paul Jung, and his mother, Emily Jung, a depressed woman of eccentric nature and with supposed abilities as a seer. Jung was a lonely and introverted child. From a young age, he believed that, like his mother, he had two personalities, a modern Swiss citizen and a personality more appropriate to the 17th century. Personality number one, as he called it, was a typical schoolboy who lived at the time. Personality number two was a dignified, authoritative, and influential man of the past. Although Jung was close to both parents, he was disappointed by his father's academic approach to faith. Some childhood memories left lifelong traces on him. As a child, he carved a small mannequin on the end of a wooden ruler, took it out of its case, and placed it inside the case. He added a stone that he had painted on the upper and lower halves and hid the case in the attic. He periodically returned to the mannequin, often bringing small sheets of paper with messages written on them in his own secret language. Later, he reflected that this ceremonial act brought him a feeling of inner peace and security. Years later, he discovered similarities between his personal experience and the practices associated with totems in indigenous cultures. He concluded that his intuitive ceremonial act was an unconscious ritual that he had practiced in a manner strikingly similar to those in distant places of which he, as a young man, knew nothing. His observations on archetypal symbols and the collective unconscious were partly inspired by these early experiences combined with his later research. At the age of 12, shortly before the end of his first year at the humanistic gymnasium in Basel, Jung was pushed to the ground by another boy with such force that he momentarily lost consciousness. Then the following thought occurred to him: "Now you won't have to go to school." From then on, every time he walked to school or started homework, he fainted and stayed home for the next 6 months until he overheard his father speaking hurriedly to a visitor about the boy's future ability to support himself. When faced with the reality of the poverty of his family, he realized the need for academic excellence. He entered his father's study and began studying Latin grammar. He fainted three more times but finally overcame the impulse and did not faint again. This event, Jung later remembered and wrote, was when he learned what a neurosis is. After completing secondary education, he decided to move away from the family religious tradition and chose to study medicine at the University of Basel. As Jung rose in his career and gained recognition in his field, he had the opportunity to meet one of the most influential and controversial psychologists of his time, Sigmund Freud, a figure who still retains his prominence in the history of psychology. Their initial meeting in 1907 became a marathon conversation lasting about 13 hours, beginning a solid friendship and professional collaboration. Together they traveled, shared lectures, analyzed each other's dreams, and debated the deeper aspects of their psychological theories. As Jung grew in his own career, tensions began to arise with Freud, particularly in fundamental areas of their theories. Philosophical differences, including Jung's more mystical inclinations in contrast to Freud's more scientific approach, along with the dynamics of their relationship, eventually led to their separation in 1913. This estrangement marked a period of psychological crisis for Jung that lasted until around 1918. During this time, he became immersed in deep introspection and carried out psychological experiments on himself, exploring the darkest corners of his unconscious. This tumultuous period of transformation and inner searching eventually consolidated his own ideas about the mind and led him to embark on an independent career as a theorist in the field of psychology. Jung's main focus was to understand the psyche in its entirety and develop theories and practices to integrate all its elements, thus creating a singular and unified state of wholeness. Here, the psyche refers to the totality of an individual's personality, including their emotions, thoughts, and actions, a fusion of the conscious and unconscious mind. To Jung, the supreme goal of life and psychological understanding was to move towards self-realization and becoming an authentic and fully developed individual. According to him, the essential task of the human being was to bring to light the only purpose of human existence, to shine a light in the darkness of mere being. He expressed it this way as far as we can discern. Complete personality, however, much of this interaction occurs in the unconscious realm, beyond our immediate awareness and control. Therefore, a significant part of our identity and motivations remains in territory that we do not actively explore. To achieve greater authenticity and wholeness, the individual must strive to make this part of the psyche conscious by integrating it into the totality of his consciousness. Jung called this process individuation. To better understand this, it is important to understand Jung's psyche model, which he divided into personal unconscious, consciousness, and collective unconscious. When breaking down each one of these three realms, consciousness is, as one would normally think, the realm of personal consciousness where one explicitly and consciously identifies with oneself. At the center of this is another structure that Jung identified, and this structure is the ego. The ego is found in the center of consciousness and provides a sense of personal distinctiveness by creating the story one tells oneself about oneself to maintain continuity in one's identity. The ego expresses itself in the conscious realm through what Jung called the persona, which are the external efforts of appearance that the individual actively displays to the world. However, this persona is often disconnected from the individual's true self as he or she displays the character one thinks or desires to be based on what the ego deems appropriate for a particular society and role, and not what is true for who the individual really is. To execute and maintain this adequate appearance and self-esteem, the ego filters various components of personal experience and being into the conscious dimension. What filters and restricts, it represses and sends towards the realm of the unconscious. One of Jung's most unique and profound ideas that significantly differentiates him from other psychologists is how he separated the unconscious into two different structures, the personal unconscious and the collective unconscious. The personal unconscious operates in a similar way to previous theories from other contemporaries. Here, the unwanted aspects of our experience and being repressed by the ego are stored just below our everyday consciousness. Despite being hidden, these elements still exert an active influence on our conscious life. Instead, the collective unconscious is unique in Jung's approach, which postulates that it contains universal elements that have been inherited throughout human history in a manner analogous to biological evolution. According to him, the development of consciousness has been a gradual and prolonged process similar to the development of human civilization. Although consciousness has advanced, there are still vast areas of the human mind that remain unknown and in darkness. Due to the natural tendency of each human generation to imitate and learn from the previous one, a continuous chain of psychological imitation is formed that dates back to the beginning of human history. This process creates a reservoir of psychological predispositions, structures, and memories that are inherited by each individual automatically. Jung observed this phenomenon both in his clinical practice, where he noticed recurring similarities in the unconscious of his patients, and in his historical and mythological research. In this research, he found that the symbolic motifs and themes that arose in the unconscious of his patients were also consistent in the art, myths, and literature of different cultures and historical periods, even when these cultures had no contact with each other. From Jung's perspective, these shared motifs were expressions of universal psychic structures throughout humanity, which he called archetypes. These archetypes in his model of the psyche form the basis of the individual personality, predisposing certain cognitive tendencies. Within the vast territory of the unconscious, Jung identified several important facets, beginning with the shadow that encompasses all content repressed, denied, and unknown by the ego. Furthermore, within the shadow are the animus and the anima, representing the masculine qualities repressed in a woman and the feminine qualities repressed in a man. According to Jung, all these structures of the psyche interact in a dynamic process to form the center of the personality that is defined more explicitly as the self. This self represents the authentic totality of the individual, including his desires, abilities, and true preferences. The objective of individuation, in essence, is to bring the ego and the persona closer to this totality, which ultimately leads to a full and authentic life. Whether through methods such as therapy, introspection, personal development towards authenticity, or some combination, ultimately for Jung it is the task of the individual to determine and strive towards this. In all cases, this type of self-realization requires an effort at radical self-acceptance, and radical self-acceptance requires an effort at radical honesty with oneself. To actively enter into the reality that every opportunity one takes to examine a personal feeling, thought, or action, one must attempt to do so by accepting the whole and at the same time often undesirable potentiality that it actually indicates about who one truly is. One of the ways Jung sought to facilitate this self-exploration was through dream analysis. Jung's approach to dreams went beyond the simple idea that dreams are meaningless images or even mere reflections of waking life. Instead, he considered dreams to be a direct expression of the unconscious, full of symbolic meanings and messages that often escape the attention of the conscious mind. Through dreams, he believed, one could access the deepest layers of the psyche, including archetypes and the collective unconscious, allowing an individual to obtain valuable insights about his own nature and journey towards individuation. Jung himself kept a meticulous record of his dreams, often using them as a source of guidance and inspiration in his personal and professional life. In fact, many of his key concepts and ideas were derived from his dream experiences and his exploration of their symbolic meanings. Jung's focus on dreams also led him to develop methods such as active imagination, where individuals were encouraged to engage with the images and themes of their dreams in a conscious and intentional way. By doing so, he believed that individuals could bridge the gap between the conscious and unconscious mind, facilitating a deeper understanding of themselves and promoting psychological growth and healing. While dreams were a significant aspect of Jung's work, they were not the only means he employed to explore the unconscious. He also delved into myths, art, religion, and cultural symbols, seeing them as windows into the collective unconscious and the shared human experience. For Jung, the process of individuation was not only a personal journey but also a universal one, reflecting the broader quest for meaning and self-discovery inherent in the human condition. In summary, Carl Jung's work offers a profound and comprehensive framework for understanding the complexities of the human mind. His theories on the psyche, the collective unconscious, archetypes, and the process of individuation continue to influence and inspire countless individuals and fields of study. By delving into the depths of our inner world and embracing the totality of our being, Jung believed that we could unlock our true potential and lead more authentic and fulfilling lives.